righteousness. Again, a study on righteousness, part three, hungering after righteousness. We were in the book of Zephaniah, and I said I was saying that we was going to have a couple of months studying Zephaniah until I was listening at someone, and they were 6 years in the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is a book that covers a long span of time because it's a book that covers the day of judgment, the day of the Lord, which is a day of judgment. And that judgment was going to be on God's people. It was going to be on the world. So it was going to be a severe judgment that was going to fall on everyone. If you look at Zephaniah 1 and 15, that one's not in your notes if you want to jot it down. It says, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. It's going to be a black day. It's a black day. And the scriptures don't look at black as we look at black. A lot of times we look at black and we think of evil, either being the opposite of white. The scripture doesn't look at it. When they say darkness, they associate that with gloominess or a time of mourning or distress or something. It's used maybe 20 or 30 times in the Bible, but never as an opposite of white. So it's going to be a physical day for those that are not in the Lord. It's going to be a time and a day of judgment because we know every transgression will receive its just recompense or reward. But it also be a day of judgment, also a time of judgment for God's people. But he had told them in the book of Zephaniah to seek righteousness, to seek meekness. It was kind of in chronological order almost, just as I told you the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount was in an order in which you need to see your poverty of spirit before you can be afflicted and mourn. You need to see that poverty of spirit before you develop meekness. You need to be humble before the Lord. So he says, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And that's a possibility. He says you may be hidden. Because there's a lot of judgment or thing that's going to fall on the children of God because of their transgressions, of their lack of seeking righteousness. When we think of righteousness, we think of the statutes of God and what it says in the book of Psalm. I give you that Psalm, but I'll give it back to you at another time or whatever. But right now, in the Beatitudes, when we're talking seek righteousness, he says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It's kind of the Western world, you know, like the United States, it's kind of to ruin the people's idea of what hungry is. I don't think nobody in America really is hungry or starving, you know. They don't really know what true hunger is. We're a nation that's given to obese. If you look around, the majority of the people are obese. Those that are in poverty, most of them have a program or something, a governmental program or something where they own food stamps or have some kind of help, a governmental help or whatever. They give governmental subsidies or whatever. We're used to eating three times a day, four or five, or just all during the day. During that time, the people knew what hunger was. Even the working man wouldn't eat meat, but maybe one day a week they didn't have the resources to eat meat. Maybe one day a week or whatever. If you look at some of the people in Africa now, whatever, they know what true hunger is. You know, a lot of times we're eating, and you're not eating, you're pleasure eating. Most people pleasure eat. They eat because of their problems of different things. They're not eating because they're hungry. They say it's 12 o'clock, so it's time to eat. They say it's lunchtime. Mm-hmm. Well, that don't mean you have to eat, but just because it's a certain time of day. So we don't really know what hunger is. And physical hunger, he used that word, so you would, like I said, we don't know the sharpness of it, but if you hungry, you hungry, you have, that gives you a drive to be fulfilled. That gives you a desire to fulfill if you actually hungry. And a lot of people, you know, they eat a little something, and before the meal, they normally ruin the meal, and then when the meal comes, they're not hungry. Most people, and that's why, you know, I don't like to go a lot of places to eat or be around a lot of people, because they waste food. This is the most wasteful nation on the earth. So we don't really can relate spiritually to when he says hunger, because we don't know the physical aspect of it. And I told you, things manifest itself in the physical a lot of times before we see it. Realize it in the spiritual. What's going on in the our spiritual life is a shadow of our physical life. So when Adam died spiritually, he died that day. The day God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. He died. But he wasn't physically dead. Physical death didn't follow till later on. That's why a lot of people are spiritually dead. They don't have any energy, but they're still alive. They're still physical. A lot of them, you could see it, they have a lack of appetite, a lack of wanting to do something, a lack of, you know, just a lack of hope. A lot of time it results in depression and all kinds of other illnesses. Those are people that are lacking in spiritual fulfillment. Because when God fulfills us, that's why he says the hunger after God, the hunger. And we will see in this evil time that we're in the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter, in the 5th verse of Revelation, Revelation 6, 5 through 6, that he talks about a time. This is the time of the third seal in Revelation. It says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that set up on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. But see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Here I think there's talking of a time of scarcity. A time that Jesus talked about was coming up on the earth. A time they talk about in the Old Testament of Jacob's trouble. That's why Zephaniah says the day of darkness and the day of the Lord. And Jesus said that it was going to be a time of great tribulation. We may be coming into that time. I look at the new president-elect coming, and some of the things that I see coming, and some of the people he appointing in those positions, billionaires, multi-billionaires. We will see a time of scarcity on the earth. We will see a time of shortages of food, of medical help and everything. It's going to create a hunger in a lot of the people, but it's not going to be a hunger in the right way. They're going to hunger for the bread that fulfills. This is going to be a man-made, a man-caused hunger. There will be plenty of those that we see today. There are plenty of people out there. They're not affected by what's going on in the economy. If you notice some of the college games, they have 80, 90, 100,000 people in the stadiums. They consistently tailgate for 2 or 3 days. And the professional teams, they tailgate during the weekend or whatever, spending thousands of dollars. Families go out tailgating, spending thousands of dollars. So there are those in society that are poverty and that are lacking food, that are lacking meals, but there are those that have more than necessary. They have money and food and stuff to waste. This is going to be a physical, but it's going to be a manifestation of what's going on spiritually in their lives. It's going to be a manifestation of what's going on spiritually. And the book of Micah, it talks about that. All this is because of sin and rebellion. That the people could be withholding from the people. That the people that of means go withhold that or hurt those that are without means for their own benefit, for their own prosperity. And when God spoke in the book of Amos about sending a famine on the land. There's going to be a famine on the land. In other words, it's going to be a time of hunger. But that's going to be manifest in the physical for the people that don't know God. Those that don't know God. There's going to be a hungering, a physical hungering, but there's also going to be a spiritual hungering. Because Amos said, not of a famine of food, not a famine of bread, because that's going to be there. It's going to be obtainable. A lot of people will sell out and receive the mark of the beast. In other words, they'll go the ways of the world or whatever. They won't seek righteousness, the righteousness of God. But it's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God. There's going to be scarcity of churches preaching the true word of God while people in the churches. You see today that there are many people that go to church that are in the churches, and they're just as worried as everybody else. These people curse, they swear, they live fornicating lives. These people, a lot of them don't give anything to God, don't pursue after righteousness. They don't pursue God. They're pursuing their own ways, their own things, and that's the ones that won't be here because they're not being true to God even though they're in the church. So Jesus is talking to believers when he's talking to those that are in the Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking to them, he's talking to believers at that time in which way that they could prosper. And it's those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and that's the word of God. That's the only thing they're looking for. That's their necessary food. That's what gives them a fulfillment. That's what satisfies their hunger. If they eat of that bread, they shall not hunger again. So we see that most people, I was looking at Sister Harris waiting outside today, and she said she had been to two different doctors. But see, the doctors couldn't provide what she wanted. The doctors couldn't provide what she wanted. And I said, by her pursuing it that way, that was what you call tenacity. That was pursuing it vigilantly with anything getting in the way. It wasn't going to block her path of what she was getting to. But here, when we're talking about the word of God, pursuing and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that's going to be fulfilled. God's word says, they shall be filled who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that come to church, it's no time that anyone in here, anyone in any church have ever come to church hungering and thirsting for the word of God who had not been filled. Now, a lot of times we come to church, we come to Bible study, we're looking for the preacher to say something, the big spiritual thing. We're looking for the teacher to say some big spiritual thing. Just by fiat, it's going to make us better than everybody else. That's not going to happen. God doesn't work like that. It has to be a desire within you. You have to be born again. He gives you a faith, the hunger after God's word, just like you're hungering after food. You can't come in here leaving it up on the preacher to do all. Do you know what causes me to preach or teach my best? Is when somebody out there then prayed to God. When somebody out there is pleading with God that they need the word of God, that they need something from God, and that strengthens, that compels my preaching. That compels my teaching, because my job is to feed the flock. He says, feed the flock. But I can't feed you if you're not hungry. If you're not looking in after the word of God, I can't feed it to you. You can't feed someone that's full. If the glass is full of water, you can't pour any more in there. In the book of Psalms, the 42nd chapter, the first through the second verse, the psalmist says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So here we do. He says, read that in the Living Bible. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is your God? He says he pants, you know, like an animal that's looking for that brook. And it's been dried up. It's been, you didn't see animals looking for a water bout. You didn't see the westerns where a cowboy or something, there's a drought in the land, and he just looking for water. That guy's thirsty. See, you don't know what thirst is because you got a tap. You can go there and turn on the faucet and you can just get a drink of water anytime. People even pay for water. Now, you got bottled water that people keep bottles of water in the refrigerator. They don't even go through the problem of turning on the tap to get water anymore, some of them. So we don't know about thirsty. But thirsting is these people that live in these arid places, these dry places, where there's not water piped to the houses. You have to go down. Me and my brother was talking about it once when we was living across the committee in the country. We used to have to go and pull water up from a well. You take a rope and you pull water up using the well. Or you'd have a pump and you'd pump the water up. But when the pump broke, we had to use the well. And you've seen on these cowboys when they're out there, they're parched, and they come, and if you don't get to the water, you start having a mirage where you'll eat or drink sand because that body is hungry or thirsty for that. That's how you should be buying God's word. When that cowboy goes there, you'll see him and he finds just a puddle of water. Do you see him moving and saying, oh, this water puddle is bad. This water puddle, I can't drink here because in it. It could be animals laying in there, but he's going to drop and he's going to jump and he's going to start drinking that water. It's going to be flies or whatever. He's going to move them out the way and he's going to drink that water. It's necessary. Job says the word of God is more necessary to him than his daily food. Is that the way you're looking at the word of God? That's why when you pray, are you praying in vanity? When you ask God to give me this day my daily bread, you're not asking him for food. You shouldn't be asking for food in that prayer. That's not a prayer about giving you food. Because if you have to ask him, you got a problem. Because doesn't he say that God clothes the lilies of the field and that he feeds the sparrow, that he's going to take care of you? So those things God's going to provide for you. But what you asking in that daily prayer is that manna from heaven, that bread that coming down from heaven, God's word. Now, we have God's word in a written form. How many of us do that daily bread that we pray for, or that we're supposed to be praying for each day? How many of us go and read and study that word? We're supposed to consume that word. That word, we have to assimilate the word of God. Just like we eat food and assimilate it and gain in weight and it makes it nutritious and it strengthens the body. That's why a lot of people, if you old or something's wrong and you can't get an appetite, you more than less likely on the way to death. You more than less likely, that's when the sicknesses and the illnesses pile up because you have nothing to fight away the infection. Your body has nothing, no immunity is building up. Food is the nourishment that nourishes the physical body. Well, God's word is the nourishment that nourishes the spiritual, that inner man, that spirit man. Without that, it's just like not having food. And the more balanced the diet, the more different kinds of the word. Not just Psalms 23. Don't just get your Bible and read Psalms 23. I don't. When people come up to me quoting Psalms 23, I feel that they don't know much about the Bible. Let me hear some Psalms that I hadn't heard. Psalms 84, Psalms 79, Psalms 123, Psalms 119. Go through that Psalm. Psalm is 160-some verses long. Quote out that Psalm. Quote some other scriptures. Don't come. It's like the preacher that used to give up the beaten word. Acts 2.38. Everybody in the church would start going outside and moving around because they know what he was going to preach when he get up there. Acts 2.38. What mother could give their child the same meal over and over each day? It's not a balanced diet. That's why it's bad to eat from these fast food places. You're not getting a balanced diet. Your mom will tell you, eat your vegetables. You need to eat your vegetables. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, like I say, you got all kinds of chemicals and things today to change things. I was getting to my wife the other day. I said, you eat too many eggs. She said, well, I said, you eat eggs? We had eggs. And she's eating all these eggs. And she says, I don't eat much meat, and the egg is my protein. One night and learned something. I thought about it. I know egg is protein. I was looking at it from a different point, and I started looking from a different point of view because she takes something called Lipitor. What the Lipitor do, it controls her cholesterol level. So what's happening, the cholesterol is being taken care of. That bad cholesterol is being taken care of chemically. And so the protein in the egg, because she doesn't eat a lot of meat. So those eggs, I asked her this much. So you want a couple of eggs then? Let me feed you the eggs. If you will eat eggs, you can eat the eggs. You know, Sister Harris had talked one time about that she was just eating the white of the egg. I said, well, you need to be eating the whole egg because there's protein in that yolk. There's no protein in the white of that egg. So we need to have a balanced diet. We need to eat the whole word of God. Eat the whole roll. That's what righteousness is. And if you hungering and thirsting, see, because what's going to happen, you're going to get mad at me when I bring the whole word of God. It's offensive to you. A lot of people love the television preachers. Do you know most people that watch television preachers, and the majority of them stay home? That's why America's in a downward spiral today. They could turn that preacher off whenever they don't want to hear what he's saying. But most of the time, he's not going to say what they don't want to hear, because that's the way he get the bills paid. That's the way the money comes in. That's what causes, because he never offends nobody. Nobody's a sinner. Everybody's right. He's not going to tell you your faults and everything. You see, but once the preacher start hitting them rough spots in your life, and you can't go nowhere. That's why some people, they don't need to eat but twice a year. They're spiritually weak, but if they can make the church on Christmas and Easter, they good. I don't need to come the rest of the year. What kind of Christian is that? People that don't eat, I don't see going to church on a weekly basis. I really don't like to talk God. Don't you talk God with me if you don't go to church. We don't need to talk God. There's a hunger. People can see whether you're hungry or not. Talk more about that. But there's a reason God allows you to hunger. There's a reason hunger comes. Deuteronomy 8, the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, 2nd through the 3rd verse reads, every commandment that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do. Every commandment, not some of them. See, that's why if you're not doing like the Apostle Paul, when he says he have declared the whole counsel of God, in other words, the whole word of God to you, unless a dispensation of the gospel be accounted to him. So let me preach to you the whole word of God. He says, so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God swore to give you, to you and your fathers. And you shall remember always all the ways in which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, so that he might prove your character. That's what's major. He's instilling character in you. You need to be made in the image and likeness of God. That's what he's up to, proving character in you. Humble you and test you to know what was in your heart and mind, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and allowed you to be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, so that he might make you understand by personal experience that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Bread is not necessary alone. Bread is good for the body, but you need God's word. That's what sustains you. Without the spirit, the body can't live. That's what happened. People don't have the will to live. When you start, that's when depression comes in, when the world starts pushing in on you, and you start becoming paranoid. There's all kinds of psychotic diseases, all kinds of system that comes in. You start having manic depression. You start going through psychosis. You start going through paranoia, schizophrenia. All kinds of dissociative disorders come. It's all in the mind. It's due to your health. It's due to your strength. It's due to a lack of the spirit man. And then if you're filling yourself up on television, if you're sitting in front of that television consuming it all day, that's when he turns you over to a reprobate mind. See, it's all in the mind. This is about the mind. You can start living in that television world. Those television characters is going to be what's real. And that's not right. That's a false, that's an illusion. Power down. Turn some of that off. Get to yourself. Meditate in the Word of God. Pray in the Word of God. This is one of the earliest the references to the parallel between physical and spiritual eating. It is not directly stated, but it is implied. God intended Israel's experience in the wilderness to instruct them in all of life, both physical and spiritual. That as long as they were eating the manna, none of them was sick, none of them got ill. But what they needed to do was to take heed to God's word. But then to fine tune that, he had other statutes in which they should be doing. That's why a lot of them didn't have the diseases and illnesses we have today, because there were certain diets he told them to eat and not eat. That comes in holiness, where he purges you and cleanses the body. Physically, if you're having a problem physically, sometimes the doctors say, well, eat a lot of greens. What that does is purges certain things out of your body, out of your system. If you eat a lot of fiber, that gets your digestive system, it runs your digestive system good, because all that grease and those fats clog the arteries. See, a lot of people eat all these fried foods and chicken and pork chops and all this grease. I occasionally buy food, you know, from fast food restaurants, but fast food restaurants I try not to spend money at. I try not to go there. If you could practice eating at home, it would show more, it would help your stewardship. It is even cheaper to eat out, but it would help your stewardship and your health if you would eat at home, because most of the fast food restaurants are designed to make you addictive. Some people have to have Popeye's chicken. Some people have to have Church's chicken. Some like Jack in the Box or whatever, but even the buns, they have sugar put in those buns. That's why their buns taste different from your buns. The restaurants, all of them use different gimmicks and everything. But just think of all the different hamburger places they have. How many different ways can you cook a hamburger? Mm-hmm. But it's all a gimmick to get you addicted to their particular brand. So your health is regulated by the righteousness of God. That comes as you go deeper in God's word. If you hungering and thirsting for righteousness, he's going to put you on the right path. That's key and essential to your health. So the physical, through using the word hunger, it parallels the spiritual. So we shouldn't focus upon things of the world and assimilating the things of the world into our lives as much as we should assimilate the things of God into our lives. If we pray more, you remember I told you, prayer is a key step in that righteousness. That's part of the work of righteousness. That's a key, because we have to be in communications to God, where we listen to God and talk to God. We have to do those two. Listen and talk to God. Because how can he give us something if we're not asking for those things? And he says, you have not because you ask not. Jesus told us, anything you need, ask the Father in my name and he'll supply. But through learning the proper prayer and way to pray, we learn that prayer is something that a lot of people pray, just like the Pharisees, and our prayers are never answered. Because you're asking amiss, you're asking the wrong thing. You're asking to consume it upon your own lust. That's why we know that we have whatever we ask God, because he promises that. But if he's leading, if his desire, your desires become as his desires, he'll fulfill those desires, but he won't fulfill your desires. Your physical desires and lust, you want to consume it upon yourself. You think you're self-centeredness. That's why a lot of people that's been in the church years and years, they're not getting anywhere physically, financially, health, in their health, in their finances, in their outward or social positions or whatever, because they're not hungering and thirsting after right, the righteousness that comes from God, that only that faith in Jesus Christ applies. That faith that we are looking to Him to fulfill. So we have to have that feeling of being starved. When the body cries out for food, one feels emptiness in the stomach, weakness in the muscles, and even sleepiness. If it goes on long enough, a faintness, a headache may come from being hungry. But when the spirit is malnourished, either from deprivation or from a harmful diet, the gradual reaction in life is different. Spiritual weaknesses appear as does sin. You can tell a person, not this comes as you grow in the Lord. So some of these are outward characteristics that God has to be given you the gift of discernment to know whether this is true spiritually. That's Job's friends' problems. They, and Job also looked at outward righteousness. They were dealing with that. They didn't have the Spirit of God that was leading and teaching them by that righteousness is by faith and is Christ's righteousness, not our righteousness. So spiritual weakness appears as does sin. When sin comes, anger, irritability, exasperation, depression, discouragement, melancholy, despondency, gloominess, bitterness, hatred, resentment, self-pity, hopelessness, despair, paranoia, envy, jealousy, family conflict, arguing, divorce, drunkenness, or other addictions, and competitiveness as self-centeredness deepens. This is all because there's a spiritual problem. If you were healthy spiritually, you wouldn't be envious or jealous of anyone. It shows a lack of spiritual growth. Drunkenness, you wouldn't need to drink till you are inhibited by the alcohol. You wouldn't need to be drunk with the alcohol. It's nothing, I'm not saying that you have to totally abstain from alcohol. But when you start using alcohol as a getaway, as a panacea, something that's going to make you happy or joyous, then you have a problem. That's a crutch then. Alcohol has its place and purposes in life. So what happens, we need to be drunk with the Spirit. You need to be full of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is intoxicating just like alcohol is intoxicating. The Spirit, you should be Spirit-controlled. You should be Spirit-led. That's if you're hungering and thirsting after the Spirit. Whereas if you alcohol driven, and a lot of people tell you, hey, that's that liquor talking. Why? Because you're doing things that's in the deep subconscious or recesses of your mind. You want to fight people that normally you wouldn't fight. Because what happens, they say, that alcohol and gave him that courage. That alcohol and made him bold like that. You think you can do super things then. You think you can drive better and you can't even see how you're driving. Because why? Alcohol is an inhibitor. It inhibits your body. It's directing you. It's in charge. You say things that you wouldn't say because it's in control and you can't suppress. You can't guide what's coming out of your mouth. Whereas the Spirit should be able to guide your tongue, guide your mouth. You wouldn't say some of the things you said if you're led by the Spirit of God, because some of these things can't come out. You don't have anything working inwardly to change you. You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You wouldn't allow things to depress you because you know that all things are working together for good. For those that are serving God, those that God had called, you have hope. That's a lot of people don't have any hope. That's why their spirits are gone. As they were saying on the news the other day, go get out and go shopping or go doing something else. Well, I'm telling you, you need to sing songs. You need to sing hymns. You need to read and you need to pray as Paul and Silas did in jail. You don't need to have that pity party. You don't need to look with all that gloominess. Oh, woe is me, the economy, and this is going on. God shall keep his own. If you're walking in the righteousness of God, God will do these things. Now, I'm not saying being naive. It's some people naive. Nothing affects them. Nothing gets to them. You might be talking to a fool also that can't, don't be aware of the writing on the wall. So that's why I say sometimes outward signs is not the only way. There is some people that it's perfectly fine with them if they don't go nowhere. It's perfectly fine. They don't believe in God nor hell. They believe they're just going to live and die. Well, you stay away from around that person. Don't have much to do with that person. When tempted by Satan, Jesus quotes verse 4 and 4. He suggests in his answer that unlike Esau, he received a vitality that sustained him even though he had not physically eaten. You remember they came to him and said, Master, we found food. We went out and found something to eat. He says, I have food that you know not of. He was talking about God's word. God's word has sustained you. That's what sustained him in the wilderness for 40 days. God's word has sustained you to keep you. And don't go out there telling everybody, I say stop eating and the word of God could keep you full. You're not understanding the teaching and the preaching of God's word. That's why he didn't sustain, succumb to Satan's talking or whatever. Also, not talking to the world. You remember I said we have to be careful who we're talking about or who we're talking to. In Scripture, we have to realize who Jesus is talking to. When he was talking to the disciples in the book of John, you remember I told you he was praying a prayer. He said, I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world. When in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verse, Jesus Christ is not talking to the world in general, as some may think. But he was talking to all those who have made this covenant with God. A lot of things, see, the physical man or the fleshly man can't understand the Bible. It doesn't make sense to them. But don't allow everybody to apply the scriptures to them. Because if they're not a believer, if they're not following God, it doesn't apply to them. He's talking only to his children. He says, the 55th chapter, Ho, everyone that thirst, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commandment to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he had glorified thee. So they're saying that all people will come to Jesus Christ, all nations. But to some people that don't want to do anything for the church, they say, oh, they say, see, come and eat and drink and get the word of God. You don't have to have money. Well, we know that we're contradicting the word of God if you've been in church long enough. You know that somebody has to pay for that heat. Somebody has to pay for that air. Somebody has to pay for the building. Anybody that goes to church, you know, or anybody that has a home or something, if you don't pay that light bill, you're talking about God's going to provide, Jesus will provide. You could sit up there watching that television preacher sending him your money and do whatever you want to do. While you watching that very TV, if you hadn't paid Gulf State to cut it off, you'd be watching TV, click, click, up, and that light's off right there. If you don't pay them the exact amount to the penny of what you say you can pay, and they'll tell you if it's not quite what you agreed to pay, they're going to cut it off. If it's 30 cents short, they're going to cut it off. So we know that there are different ways that the church is provided for. So that don't mean to be a freeloader. But what he's saying, this isn't physical thing, because us in the church, we know that anything we have, we got that from God, and we're just returning back to Him. So we're not really paying for anything. Money, the cattle on a thousand hills is His. So the food we have that because God gave it to us. So if we pay in tithes and offering, it's because God gave us the power to get well. You couldn't be on Social Security, you couldn't be have a job, you couldn't do anything without God giving you that power, giving someone to give you that job. So it all belongs to God. But what He's telling you is that He's not looking for the physical. He's looking for you to line up and be fed the Word of God. He had set in the church pastors and teachers. He had gifted the church with these things to cause you to be washed and cleansed and purged. And you'll live a blessed life. You'll live a better life. He says, I wish that you prosper as your soul prospers. So God doesn't want you broke. You're not a good testimony to being broke. Don't go around here talking about, I mean, you know, being poor, all that. Well, that ain't no good testimony. You don't get many people following you. Hey, man, I'm broke. I'm glad I'm broke. Hey, what's wrong with him? It's nothing wrong with having money. And if you're living according to God's righteousness in His right way, that's why Job would say, Lord, I sustained the widow. I had a good relationship. We're going to study that the next week or two when we study righteousness as concerning relationships. Because righteousness is also having a relationship. As there is talking here about being in a covenant with God, those that's in God's covenant will be fed. If I'm not feeding the household of God, if I don't feed the church the Word of God, there's no use me going trying to feed it to those outside of the church. I must feed those in my house first. How would it look if a man go stop somewhere else and feed somebody else's children or get somebody else's wife money before he go home and take care of his own children? Not that he should do that secondly, but he should take care of his own. If a man take care of his don't take care of his own house, he's less than an infidel. Consciousness. God has given us faith to make us aware of our spiritual need. That's why by the hearing of the preacher, he makes you aware. A lot of times, different people talk to me. I go over to their house and we're talking spiritual. And that's how I know they're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Some people I can't talk to because you ever talk to your relatives or anybody, they know much as you, so ain't no use you talking to them. You can't spur them on because they don't feel they have no sin. So Jesus said, I didn't come to make the heal of the well. I come to heal the sick. Well, if you just spiritually know everything, it's no use in us going down that road. I came to preach to those that know they're sick and that know that they need help, those that are poor in spirit. But if the preacher come over there and he's trying to spur you on, but you going scripture to scripture with him and trying to show him why you know him, he might just say okay and then leave you alone. You ever talk to somebody and they know more than you know about it?
Yeah.
You just have to stop for a while. God gives us consciousness. When someone is saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I don't feel, what about this? And sometimes Sister Harris be asking me things or whatever. And what about this? There's a hunger there. When people are asking, and that's why God says, asking you shall be filled. My wife was asking me the other day about this definition about righteousness. And I say, well, look, that thing, we'll be on that a few months because it has so many definitions to that righteousness. And I tell you, Psalms 1... which psalm we was in the other week. Anyhow, I said that the other day. But it defines God's word, His statutes, as righteousness. See, this is righteousness. Don't look in a secular dictionary. She said she had to download some biblical dictionaries because you can only look to the Bible dictionary to define righteousness. Don't go to Merriam-Webster. If you notice, I didn't give you a definition from Merriam-Webster because righteousness has to become defined in the context of God, what God says, because righteousness is justice. It's justice and it's being justified. Not only comes from God, because man suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. We're all aware of our physical needs by nature, but we would never be aware of these spiritual needs unless God, by His Spirit, makes us aware of that. Makes us aware of what we should be doing. That's why they can't hear without a preacher. God has to awaken. That's what He called quicken or making you alive. He has to. That's why He had given the law. The law can't save you, but the law was given because of transgressions, because your consciousness, you wasn't aware that what you were doing, you were transgressing God. It's a lot of good people out there today, and they figure that they good. They don't do this and they don't do it. Okay, you're good so far is a self-righteousness according to your standards. That's what God was trying to get over to Job, that according to your standards, you were doing what is good. But there's a scripture that says there's none good, none but God. Not one. So He had condemned all under sin. So you're in a position that you condemn. No matter how much good you do, you condemn because you're a sinner. You need the righteousness by faith of Jesus Christ. Only He can impute that righteousness to you. So He makes you aware. That's why His disciples, the one that continue in His word, that's the one that creates a hunger in you. The word creates that hunger. It shows you where you are lacking. It says the Spirit, when it has come, it'll guide and lead you into all truth. It's going to show you your faults and failures until you acknowledge, you come to consciousness and do like they do in Alcoholics Anonymous. You have to first admit you're an alcoholic before they can help you. You have to admit you're a sinner in need of God's help. But you talk to most of the people in the world, they figure they're all right because they're comparing themselves with somebody else, with their neighbor. Well, I'm better than him. How do you stack up next to Christ, though? Compare yourself with Him and you'll see you fall far short. So His Spirit is what does that to us. It's what leads and guides us and strengthens in His word and His way. If we keep walking in God's Spirit, we learn that. Okay, prayer and fervency. Prayer and fervency. Prayer and fervency. What happens is, in God's word, I told you prayer was a necessary ingredient. We have to have that desire planted within us. God plants that. That's the word of faith. That's that seed of faith that we have to feed. That when you're born again, that becomes, as the analogy used, there's a black dog and a white dog. There's two dogs inside of you. The one that wins is the one that you feed the most. You got two dogs chained up here. The dog that you come out and feed every day is the one that's going to be the strongest. Do you get up in the morning and you feed the black dog? You feed him with Good Morning America, some recorded program, and all these other things? Or do you feed the white dog with prayer, reading the Word of God, looking unto God, studying? That's the first fruit. You feed him first. After you feed him, get this dog the leftovers. Give him the scraps. After you done prayed and read the Word of God, then maybe eat your breakfast. Then maybe go about your daily chores. At lunchtime, your time of intercession, feed this other white dog first. Give him the best of the food. This dark and gloomy dog that's going to always have it a negative thing, you could drag that old man around, but you're starving him to death. He's not leading and guiding you. You guiding and feeding him, because you will have to drag him around all the time. But he's not becoming stronger. Which dog is becoming stronger? This one you're feeding all the time. Now, this has no racial connotation. It has no connotations of one being the opposite of the other. It's an analogy of two different dogs. So you have to look at these, that inner man. Are you feeding the inner man? Are you feeding the outer man? During the course of the week, how many hours have you given the white dog and how many hours have you given the black dog? Who's got the best of time? Did you do the praying to God and talking to God in the morning and during the day while you are most alert? And then at nighttime when you're kind of sleepy or tired, that's when you come in and watch TV or whatever and drift off. Because if you didn't save the white dog to feed him then, you always go to sleep. Talking about, man, I'd be trying to pray and I go to sleep. Well, maybe you ought to pray when you first get up and ain't sleeping. Maybe you ought to, I'd be reading the Bible, man, I fall asleep reading the Bible. That's not good. Maybe you ought to read the Word of God when you first wake up, when you acted the first. Give Him the first. That's just like your tithes off. God don't want nothing you didn't play it off. He wants the first fruits. He wants the best. So, and your finances looking good, that's because when you get paid or whatever, you say, okay, this is for God. Now, I got to balance the rest of it. If you do that, what happens, you get stronger financially for God because you're living by faith that if I give to God first, He's going to take care of me where I can do the rest of this. Mm-hmm. What happens when you proportion off like that, it helps your stewardship because what happens then, you start saying, look, I got to pay Gulf States, so you will balance this amount of money over here because this is all you have. This is not yours over here. You're robbing God if you're making $2,000 a month. If you're not giving at least $200 to God, you're robbing God. So that means you don't make $2,000 a month. You only got $1,800 a month to say to spend. Yeah. And maybe out of that $1,800, you can put $100 or $150. You can put a certain amount for offerings just to give God lamia. But let me get my bills within this $1,700 time frame. Because I can't take this, but I'll be robbing God. He's not going to get weaker. He's going to get stronger if you do that. But if I'm over here, if you're putting that money over here, you'll never be able to give to God because what's going to happen after you get that bill paid, your wife or your husband will go and you will make another bill just as high a bill. You're never going to be able to pay tithes. You're never going to be able to give to God. And what's going to happen, your budget could be so high, you're going to have to start working two jobs because, oh, I got this much money. And what's going to happen, you're not going to get strong because you're not walking in righteousness. You have to have balance in your life. If you don't know how to spend your own money, you can't spend nobody else's money. First, you have to learn to spend your own money before you can spend somebody else's money. So prayer is a desire, is an inward longing for something we do not have but feel we need. Are you having the wrong desires and wrong needs? See, if you looking at television or looking at these things on television, you might develop the wrong desires and needs because you remember Jesus said, you look it in lust. Lust comes from looking, Jesus said. It not just comes from the act. Because once you commit to act, it's already thought of and it's already done. That's why we say it starts in the mind. Adultery starts in the mind. Hunger and thirst are appetites God gave humans to make us aware of a need. Hunger for God's word and His attributes are the spiritual appetite God gives Christians to make us aware of our spiritual needs. If he's not consistently making you aware that you're not perfect, that you're not there, that you're not, Paul say, I hadn't achieved, I'm pressing forward toward the mark. Once you get complacent and satisfied with your spiritual life, there is a problem. There's a problem once you get satisfied. Because you'll never know much as God, you'll never know all. You'll never understand all. So it's until we get to heaven, that's when we won't have to study the Bible no more. We're practicing it now. But He's writing that on your heart. How can He write the laws of God, what's right in heaven, on your heart if you're not listening and following it? If you're not listening and following and practicing that, at the end of the week, when game day comes, when you go to heaven, you can't go. You're not on first string. the people that had mispracticed, that wasn't hungry, if my brother played guard or tackle, he was hungry. He was hungry for that position. It might have been two or three other people behind him wanting to play that position, but he worked hard in practice every day. Each evening he was there on time. All through the week he was there. He was sweating. So on Friday night, who gets the glory? Jack, you're dressing out. You're playing first string. Some of them won't even get to dress that night because you wasn't one of the ones who consistently practiced. You didn't develop yourself at this. You didn't go to weight training. You didn't sleep. You know, athletes have to get a certain amount of sleep. God's people have to get sleep. You have to get rest to be able to study God's word. I have to be rested. We have to look out for that body. We have to take, our body is not our body. We can't do what we want to. See, the hunger to please God comes in prayer. And as we pray, God makes us aware of just how far short we need. We fall. Do pagans pray to their idols and ask them for love, joy, internal peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness and meekness, or self-control? They ask for other things, material blessings. Whereas we should be asking for what? Spiritual things. We should be asking God a thing to make us or strengthen us in serving Him. We should be seeking first the kingdom of God. And see, God has a law of reciprocity. That what a man sows, he shall reap. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. If you giving to God first, God's going to take care of the wealth portion. He's going to make people give you your name. If you seeking God in the workplace, God's going to see that you get the proper advancements. God's going to see. If you seeking God at home, if you seeking God in all in righteousness, God's going to cause your life to be fruitful. He's going to give you the strength to where you won't be depressed when people talk about you. You won't be so argumentative because as we could see in weeks to come, you find out that you blessed when people persecute you for righteousness' sake. When you're doing the right thing, when people bothering you, you can say, this is a blessing from God. I can glorify God in that. He says, you're blessed at that time. Because when you start doing right, Satan's going to unleash the forces of hell upon you. Mm-hmm. It's a battle to do right. Even in your own home, your wife's going to come to you and say, you ought to curse God and die. Job said, you don't sound like my wife. Lot's wife turned back on him and looked back. Lot was going on in the other direction. Lot never looked back. When Lot got to where he was going, him and the daughter looked, the wife wasn't there. She was a pillar of salt. But in the end, what he said, the Lord spared righteous Lot. He called Lot righteous or just Lot. If you would listen to God, stop listening to other people. You could help them. See, these people need your help, and you're not helping them by giving in to them. If you would straighten yourself out, then they'll come along. It's got people that have been looking at you for years and years, and they've been talking and going on, but then one day they go come to you and say, you know, I've been watching you. That's what the thief on the cross said. I've been watching you. You don't act like the rest of the men. I believe you the Son of God. People watching your life, but if you're living that way just to be seen of men, you will, that glory is going to go to your head, and you will be given to vanity. But if you're living to please God, that them saying this ain't gonna make one hill of beans to you, because you know it is God doing the works in you. You're not living for the glory of men. You're not looking for your self-image. And he wants us to seek after him and all of his desires, all that God has for us. Continuously seek after righteousness. That's why he says, blessed is he that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Weak. Because we see that some people don't realize that we may die before we reach that goal. All of the saints in the Old Testament died before reaching that goal. But we have to see that it's going to cost us something going after God. We have to deny ourselves. We may not get it in this life, but we know as Job said, what did Job say? I know my Redeemer liveth. He says, hide me in the grave. One day I shall see God face to face. You know, your parents died in hope, but they hoped that they would see God. My mother, she put hope in me. She said, son, always reach for the moon. Reach for the stars. Reach for the stars. You may land on the moon, but reach for the stars. She instilled hope in me, and through her, I've never seen her discouraged or seen her give up. She would work 2 or 3 jobs as necessary, but she never did give up. She put something in me just like God put something in me. God puts that in you through other people. You see, have to see that God works through man. He's going to instill it into you. He's going to give you something, a something tangible, that if you follow after, and then Paul says, follow after me as I follow Christ. We have to become a pattern for others. That means we have to never give up. That means our integrity is who we are when people are not around us. Who we are at any time, day or night. You know, my mother was one that never always frowned. I always say, what I remember, everybody could remember that. Say, oh, mother, that smile. Mother had that smile. I mean, things could be going any kind of way. She had that smile. She would feed anybody. She would do these things. And that's what we have to look at. If we hungry and thirsty, it was something that she was looking for. We have to be looking unto God. She didn't promote wrong. She didn't tell me to do wrong. I'm not saying she was a saint. I'm not saying that she was perfect. If we start looking and listening at people come and tell us about somebody else's shortcoming, we're not seeking after righteousness. We're seeking after gossiping and tail-bearing and backbiting. When somebody's putting somebody else down, don't speak evil of anyone. Speak good things. Now, we know that the Bible tells us, why are we so upset because somebody said something about us? Hadn't we said something about somebody ourselves? Not that you don't love that person. I got with my brother, or my sister, or my wife, or somebody. Hadn't you got with somebody and said something about your brother, or your sister, or your children, or somebody? It wasn't of evil of them. It's what where they wasn't listening. You know, we have to talk with one another where the problem things also exist to help one another. You know, he was doing this, so he should mind. But see, we have to, as a church family, know if one says something offends, if the preacher says something, we're not giving up. That's why he gave you brothers and sisters that you love your brother and sister. Y'all will fall out. How many of us have brothers and sisters, and you know y'all done had fights when y'all were young, y'all done did this and did that, but you're still brothers and sisters. That's one thing my mother instilled in, that's your brother. That's your sister. So we have to see that God has us as his family. And that righteousness, hungering and thirsting after that, is the desire to fulfill that which God has, that we walk pleasing unto God. We see that's one thing he had against Esau, against Esau's whole family, is because they hated their brother Jacob. That he fought against it. Don't fight against your brethren. Don't fight against your neighbor. That's not righteousness.